We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. I'm John Warren with Mike Parker, and this week we're wrapping up the flashback, and we'll be getting to this season, now that there is a season upon us. The Beavers will open up with a home game against Washington State Saturday, November 7th at 7:30 p.m. with a 5:30 pregame show right here on the network. This week's show is brought to you in part by La Crosse Boots. Beaver fans, when you need a pair of boots for that rainy Oregon weather, choose a boot done right. La Crosse Boots, done right since 1897. And by Toyota. Beaver Nation, the answer is yes. We are doing cutouts in stadium with the help of our partners at your local Toyota dealers. Toyota will help plant a tree for every cutout to help the Beaver State recover from the devastating wildfires this year. Buy now to get the very best spots in the stadium this year. Learn more at osubeavers.com. As for this week's show, we hear from three people who were all very instrumental in making it happen 20 years ago. We start with former athletic director Mitch Barnhart, who put together an impressive package to lobby the Fiesta Bowl committee 20 years ago.
Mitch, it seems fitting for your personality to talk about Jonathan and how proud you are of him coming back and kind of deflecting a little bit. But I do want to ask you about your pivotal role in going to work on trying to get a worthy team into that bowl game. And what, you know, you went down to Tempe before 8 days before Selection Sunday, essentially. Could you tell us a little bit about that and the presentation that you made? Sean Scheffler has said he was working for the Fiesta Bowl then. He's here now. But Sean told me it was unbelievable that you impressed the room and Oregon State went from, well, a maybe to the front runner to get into that thing.
Well, you know, when you asked me to do this call, I said it is shocking for me, number one, to believe this 20 years. It makes me feel incredibly old. But it's how fast it's gone, but the memory is fresh. And I will give Bob DeCarolis a ton of credit. Bob DeCarolis was innovative, smart. We put together a really good team of folks back when, you know, PowerPoints were not a thing at that point in time. You didn't have PowerPoints. You had to think your way through it a little differently and do some stuff that was unique. And so we did some things that we talked about, the economic impact of what Oregon State football would have on the city of Phoenix. Well, I said, well, it can't have an impact because you're not going to bring enough people. And then they said, well, yeah, we can do this. We think our people will come. This is the impact we will have. We feel like this is our licensing, our purchasing power of what we would do in terms of royalties and things we would do. And then here we spent a little money on some jerseys, and we had the board member names put on the jerseys with a memento of what we wanted them to understand, how special it would be for Oregon State to come into Tempe and play. And so we spent a lot of time just talking about the pent-up love for the Beavers and the things that we like our fan base would embrace. And it was, they received it well. And it was a lot of fun. It was fun to do. We took our staff down there. We took several of our staff down there. And again, I give Bobby Carolus a ton of credit. He was just his mentality of how we would sell tickets and how we would promote, how we would put people in there. You know, sometimes you go to a big bowl game and people automatically assume that it would just show up because it's when you haven't been there in an awfully long time and they don't know how you'll react, you got to make sure that you let them know. And our staff did a wonderful job. Again, it was the beginning of a very, very special month for us.
Mitch, Sean Scheffler represented the Fiesta Bowl and was the only one, though, at the Civil War game. Did some conversations begin with him while representing the Fiesta Bowl there? And I know Sean had to be careful.
Absolutely. Yes. We knew that Chef was one of those guys that he had a little bit of a Beaver blood in him. We were working that hard. Greg Byrne and Sean Scheffler knew each other from way, way back. And so I said, Greg, that's your job. So go get Chef, get him going, man, and make sure that we got a chance. But Greg was so well, and that's the other person that was so well connected. I don't want to fail to mention Greg. Greg did some really great work for us in terms of because he had been in Tempe, he had some Arizona State ties in terms of that area, and so he was really, really good at sort of giving us the lay of the land. And there's the chairman and the CEO of the board that year is a guy by the name of Steve Wheeler, who has remained a very good friend of our family. And just Steve was just a genuine guy, and really, really enjoyed. He was just he understood what we were saying. He didn't get caught up in the emotion of stuff that other people might offer. And he knew that the facts we were laying out and but he was really a great person and received our story well. But Sean and Greg were really important. Greg, that friendship was important, and we continued to talk to the chef. He was I'm thankful that we had a chance to represent his school well as well.
Mitch, you mentioned your staff and different people involved that were significant, but did you also get some help, a push from Tom Hansen and the Pac-10?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I will never know exactly how that played out because, you know, we had there was three champions and Tom's, I mean, the Rose Bowl was always their baby and we, you know, they were always, you know, monitoring that pretty close. But I think Tom did a nice job of guiding us in there, you know, helping us get in there. And I haven't, you know, I will never probably really know what impact was there. But I do know that having three, you know, there was three teams that were worthy of going to those two. And I think, as I remember, the other one was the Holiday Bowl, was the third bowl. And so we were thankful to be able to get to the Fiesta Bowl and have the chance to represent our program. But, I think the conference office is always trying to find what they would consider the best fit. And I think he's got to be very careful not to show a partiality. He wanted to make sure we were going to represent the conference well, too. We were an unknown commodity. No one knew how we would react. And then here we go. We play Notre Dame, for Pete's sake. Are we going to be able to line up with those guys? You know, that's the big question. Are you sure if we put you against somebody that good, are you going to be able to line up and play? I said, yeah, we're fine. We'll be fine. We got a big-time coach. We've got big-time players. And we've got a captain of the ship and a little number nine quarterback that he's pretty stinking good. And they all proved to be true.
And Mitch, it can be about your story. You presented a lot of things, but you presented stories, from what I've been told, about the walk-on quarterback, the former quarterback in Dennis Erickson, the undersized quarterback, Jonathan Smith, a walk-on quarterback, et cetera. You had stories ready about why Oregon State was a good story.
Well, yeah, we had a great, and thanks for leading me with that, Mike. I appreciate it, and you're so right. You know, we did. We had great storytelling. We had Jonathan Smith, who was a guy that earned the job his freshman year after his freshman year in spring practice. We had a running back by the name of Ken Simonton, who was just unbelievable and was setting records right and left and was one of those enjoyable, fun players to watch play the game. He made magic. It was fun to watch, made things happen. We had two defensive ends in Jackson and Grant that were just, the presidents, as they were called back then, and they lined up, and it was just amazing. You know, we had guys that were just really great players. We had great cutting marks for us, and there was great storytelling in all of that. So we had places you could line up, and it wasn't a hard thing to talk about at all. It was very easy to talk about.
Mitch, the final thing, and we appreciate your time reflecting on this. Reflecting back 20 years ago, however it makes you feel, it was a magical time for Oregon State, and it led to that year, Mitch, is it safe to say, has led to all of the embellishments, improvements, infrastructure at Oregon State, which I know Scott Barnes is anxious to finish the old side and has a plan and a goal and getting the funding for all of that, even in these challenging times. What about the year 2000? That football season, its significance in your long life as an AD, just what one year like that can do and can mean?
Well, it changes everything for a lot of people. It changed the trajectory of Oregon State football. It changed the trajectory of the Oregon State program. And in a lot of ways, those things facilitated other things. And so Bob DeCarlos was able to move forward with some of his things. Scott Barnes has come in and to continue a strategic vision for what they want to do. It had an impact on my life. It allowed me, it gave me a window to change the direction for my family. So there's no question. Now, again, I go back to Jonathan Smith walking in and becoming, out of that moment, he becomes a guy that, I want to coach and I want to work at it. And he works his way up the ladder and has become a highly respected young head coach. And I think he's going to do remarkable things at Oregon State. And I'm so proud of him and Candace and their family and so happy for them. But those things impact. We've seen how those things work and they can impact people in so many ways. And thankful. I'm hopeful that as the Oregon State alums and faithful look back on those years, they'll look on them fondly and they'll remember the great fun that we had in Phoenix and the opportunity to celebrate together and a really, really cool time. And I'll never forget standing on the sidelines with my wife at the end of the game and just it felt so surreal to be in the third quarter. And the game was essentially over at that point. And to be standing there with my wife, just think, man, just 2 years ago, who would have dreamed this? And I go back to my days at Oregon State, how fond it was for us and how much joy that those times brought us in Corvallis, how much fun it was. It was truly a fun time of creation and imagination and dreaming big dreams and doing things that unimaginable and just a wonderful, wonderful time in our life. And we're towards the end of our career now, but we look back on some of the things we've got on our walls and our home and the memories that our children have are of those very, very special moments. And truly, truly special moments was in Phoenix, Arizona and Tempe.
Next, we highlight a former player who was part of a contingent of players who all decided to make Oregon State their home and bring the Beavers out of the doldrums of college football. Former defensive and special teams player Terrence Gray.
And if you were to look up the 1999 All-State team for the state of California, junior colleges, you'll see close to 10 names that went to Oregon State from that All-State team. Myself, TJ, I think Monjero Jones is on that list, DeLawrence Grant, Tavita Mawala, Ladarius Jackson, David Swopes, Amani Kurt. You know, there were so many names. And again, TJ and I had known each other since we were freshmen. In fact, we would fight a lot in games because I was one of the top corners in the area and he was the top receiver. And we did not like each other. But that respect level developed over time where we recognized each other's talents, et cetera, and we became friends. And again, when you start getting into the recruiting process and you see guys on trips, there were several teammates from El Camino College, Lawrence, Tevita, Ladarius, Cerritos with TJ, Mitch and myself from Palomar. We played San Francisco City College in the state championship. David Swopes, Paul Davidian, those guys are on that team. So these are all familiar names before we ever signed our letter of intent. And he's right. There was kind of a pact where, again, I knew how good TJ was. I knew how good some of those other guys were. And I said, you know what? I got a lot of respect for him as a player. He's going to Oregon State. You know what? You know, let's do it. Let's go up there together.
Then you added a guy later in the summer of 2000 out of Santa Monica by the name of Chad Johnson.
Yes.
That worked out too.
That's right. It sure did. So he was the second, we call him one-for-one transfers. Chad was a one-for-one. And I don't know if you guys remember the year before that, Amani Perkos was a one-for-one. And they both contributed. And obviously Chad was, we call him in the NFL world, he was an arrow up guy. And there are two players in particular that I remember from my time at Oregon State where you knew from the first day that they were different. It was Chad Johnson and really Steven Jackson when he came in as a freshman. You just knew right away they were special. And, you know, we had some good players, but those two could have played anywhere in the country. And they looked the part. They moved the part. And Chad was, you know, before the what we've grown to know, the Ocho Cinco thing, Chad came in and he wanted to establish himself. And he was a good teammate. And I think it was that Stanford game that year. He had that breakout catch, breakout game. Once he learned the system, he just took off. And he was different. He was special. And we saw that over the course of his NFL career.
Terrence, the 2000 season itself, we visited with a lot of your former teammates. Some are a little hazy and vague about certain things. Others can deliver us vivid detail about certain plays and games. What about you playing on, I think you played on almost all the special teams, didn't you? You played in every game. What are some of your specific memories about the 2000 season?
You know, I'll start even with the off season. And you guys remember the year before that, we finished 7-5 in a regular season. We broke the drought, the bowl drought. I just remember the feeling going into the year, like it had all finally come together as a group. You had this mesh of high school kids, JC kids, Riley recruits, Erickson recruits. Well, after that 7-5 season, I think we all started to believe that, you know what, you know, this is not a doormat program. We broke the bowl streak. Let's shoot higher. And I remember running hills that offseason. We do, you know, again, this is voluntary work. You know, Ken Simonson would organize workouts, the receivers, you know, we were just doing so much on our own. A lot of guys stayed back that summer. So I felt like there was some real good momentum going into the season. I remember that vividly. And just practices were so competitive. You know, if you know anything about that team, we had a lot of personalities. We also had a lot of fights in practice because it was that competitive. And so we got off to a slow start. And then I think it was really after the SEC game, again, beating them for the first time in a long time. I think we really started to believe that we're a force to be reckoned with in the conference. The last year was behind us. And again, we were trying to achieve our goal. We started out the season unranked. And I think after the SEC game, if I remember correctly, I'd always look at the ESPN top 25 and then, you know, we'd be others to watch. And then each week we just slowly start climbing the rankings. So that part about it was very special, knowing the history of the program, where we started and some of the accomplishments that we were able to achieve together as a group. And again, just a mesh of different players from different eras, et cetera, different recruiting classes. It was really a very special season for me. And for us as a program.
The Civil War itself, Terrence, in the 2000 Civil War itself, your name came up. We play back highlights from the games during these shows we're doing. So we've got Chad and TJ and Maurer and Smith and Simonton and James Allen and DeLawrence Grant and people like all over. Special teams guys, not as much. We're not playing as many of those. But, boy, your name comes up big in the Civil War. I don't know if you remember this specifically, but late in the game, Fessler – delivered a nice pooch punt that you got down and downed at about the 2-yard line. That put Harrington and Oregon down 10 in a tough position with less than 2 minutes to go. Do you remember that play?
I do. I just, we harp more on it now. Like, it's one third of the game, and that was my role. And guys that know me, as much as I wanted to start at corner, the fact that I play special teams, I always viewed as a privilege. I took pride in it, and anything I could do to help the team, it was important to me. So I do remember that play. That game was just, it was such a great feeling to knock off Oregon. I think Jake Cook has picked off Joey Harrington 3 times, but just the entire flow of the game, it was fun. And to your question, yes, when I got on the field as a special teamer, I wanted to do anything I could to help that team.
Before we hear from our final subject in this week's podcast, we want to thank On Point Community Credit Union, where they provide local communities with the banking and lending solutions they need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of the Oregon State Athletics Podcast, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity, and by Oregon State eCampus. Special thanks to eCampus. The world has shifted towards online education, and no one does it better than Oregon State eCampus. You can choose from more than 75 programs and earn your degree online from a nationally ranked leader in the industry. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu. Ken Goh is a longtime writer for The Oregonian who's retiring. Ken joined us to talk about a scary but special story involving his son and Dennis Erickson during the time of the Fiesta Bowl run.
Finally, let's close with 2000. You know the day, September 28th. Tell us about, and Justin's been in this very studio, your son Justin, but if you could, Ken, 20 years ago, this fall, what happened to Justin and Dennis Erickson's subsequent involvement that you appreciated. Tell us about that, if you could.
Sure. Well, my son Justin at that point was a high school sophomore, junior varsity football player at Rex Putnam. Made the tackle on the opening kickoff. Did not look like a violent tackle, but he stayed in to play defense and came out after a couple plays complaining of a headache, and then within a couple minutes had collapsed on the sideline. We were very fortunate that Putnam High School had an excellent trainer diagnosed that he'd had a close head injury, and they were able to get him to OHSU fairly rapidly, probably saved his life. He had a subdural hematoma, spent the next 2 weeks in a medically induced coma at the PEDS ICU at Oregon Health Sciences University, and then the next 6 weeks in pediatric rehab at Emmanuel, just learning how to walk and talk. I mean, it was a very serious injury, and he came very close to dying on the operating table. So because I'm me and people knew who I was, and because several other football players that fall suffered catastrophic injuries, we sort of became famous, and a lot of people, most of them neighbors and other people in the high school community would come up to visit us, the Oregon, Portland area high school community. But one visitor during that stretch where he was in a coma, who came up unannounced, was Dennis Erickson, who then Oregon State's football coach. And it was interesting to me because he just showed up. I mean, it was just Dennis. If there was somebody else with him, that person did not come up to the PEDS ICU unit. He just showed up, brought a football with him that the team had signed, and stayed and talked to my wife and I for probably 10, 12, 15 minutes. And was just a genuine, supportive, just a real person. And, sometimes I think people who don't know Dennis Erickson have a different view of him as sort of a calculating a guy not afraid of bending the rules. I never saw that side of him. I saw just a genuine human person that knew how much we were hurting and showed up with no desire or knowledge to have that known by anybody outside. He just did it to be a good person.
And did you ever write about it?
Yeah, no, I've mentioned it. I don't know if I went into detail. We were really lucky in that other people did that too. Again, people that you might not necessarily think would do something like that. One of the first pieces of mail correspondence I got was from Rick Neuheisel, who Washington had been in Oregon actually when this happened to play the Ducks. And I guess Neuheisel must have seen the media coverage because he wrote me a four-page handwritten letter talking about how he had sons and how he could just understand how we were feeling and to reach out if there's anything he could do. And then he started a correspondence with Justin as Justin started to recover. And still years later, when I would see him, would ask about him. And Lou Olson did the same thing, who just actually became a pen pal with Justin for a while. So we were blessed in the way that people in the collegiate sports community reached out to us.
Ken, the big question then, and I mentioned earlier, I mean, Justin did a job shadow with us. So we know that he did recover. But how long of a process was it? And how's Justin doing now? What's he doing? How's he doing?
Yeah, you know, when you have an injury like that, I think you continue to recover for the rest of your life. I mean, it's not...
All right, that wraps up this edition of the Fiesta Bowl Flashback presented by On Point Community Credit Union and brought to you by the OSU Beaver Store. Beaver Nation, this year's game day experience starts at osubeaverstore.com. The OSU Beaver Store, your authentic source for Beaver gear since 1914. Go Beavs. We'll do it again next week. From Mike Parker, I'm John Warren.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.